in the Mayavadi school, they changed their names when they take sannyas. And they put, Prabhupada said that the Mayavadis put, or to the name, they add one name of Lord Krishna, which is Narayan. And that means that if you reach that state, you are more than or equal to Narayan. So they think that they are like God. And even they think that they surpass his spiritual master. They are beyond his spiritual master. And we have the example, for example, the stairs. To go to the roof, we need to use stairs. The Mayavadi is like he's using the roof, the stair to climb to the roof. And when he is on the roof, he take out the stairs. Yes, that is the conception of the Mayavadis. That is the way that they act. His guru is just a media to go to another level. As we see in the material world, people using others to reach some things, now some positions, just using people. So that is the Mayavadi philosophy. But the Vaishnava, no. The Vaishnava, he is always dasa nudasa. The Vaishnava is always serving his guru, no? And even if he obtains the perfection, he never forgets his guru. And his guru, he's always up to him. So in that way, Lord Chaitanya was teaching us, no? The proper attitude. So Lord Chaitanya, one day, he was dancing in the Srivas Thakur house in ecstasy with the devotees. And at a certain point, he started to glorify all the devotees. It's like here, Nityananda Pran start to glorify each of us. No? Because you are this, you are that, no? You have such exalted qualities, etc., etc. But guess what? Lord Chaitanya didn't mention in any time, Mukunda Datta. So I don't know if you have the feeling to be rejected from someone, no? Which is very hard. It's very hard. But Mukunda Datta, he wasn't glorified by Lord Chaitanya. And all the devotees ask, "My Lord, why Mukunda Datta is not in your words, no, in your mouth? Why Mukunda Datta is not glorified by you? No, what's happening?" And the fact is that Mukunda Datta, he offended Bhakti Devi. Who is Bhakti Devi? Radharani. Yes. And Mukunda Datta offended Bhakti Devi because when Mukunda Datta meets with the Karmis, he speaks Karmi topics. When Mukunda Datta meets with the Bhaktas, he speaks Shastra. Very nice. But when Mukunda Datta meets with the impersonalists and the Mayavadis, he used to discuss the Mayavadi philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't tolerate that. Lord Chaitanya was very strict that if we hear Mayavadi philosophy, our spiritual life will be ruined. It's like poison. You should not listen a word from a Mayavadi. And that was the reason, because Lord Chaitanya said, "I don't want to see Mukunda Datta, but please, Lord Chaitanya, you have to see him, he's there." "No, I don't want to see him." And the devotees, they told Mukunda Datta, "Lord Chaitanya, he don't want to see you." But not only for a couple days, not only for 10 years, not only for 20 years. Lord Chaitanya said, "I don't want to see Mukunda Datta in millions of lives." And when the devotees, they told this to Mukunda Datta, our reaction generally when we are rejected is, no? Like be sad all day long, etc. Why this person rejects me? But Mukunda Datta started to dance. Like dancing, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And of course, the devotees, associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were very confused. Why this guy is jumping? Lord Chaitanya, he don't want to see him. and he's jumping and dancing like anything. So finally they ask Mukundadatta, why you are dancing? I don't care if millions of lives, I have to spend millions of lives, you know, coming to this material world. But finally, after these millions of lives, I'm going to see my dear Lord Chaitanya. And when the devotees, they came back to say, Lord Chaitanya, these things is very interesting. You have to know this. Mukundadatta is dancing. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with that attitude. And he said, yes, Mukundadatta, all his offenses, I'm going to forget all his offenses. And also, just because he trusts in my word. He's trusting in my word. We should never, like, doubt about the words of the Lord. If Krishna says that he is protecting us, it's true. We have to believe in that with all the faith that we have. And also one devotee shared with me one more teaching from this. One teaching is that hear my Mayavadi philosophy or be engaged in Mayavadi philosophy is very dangerous and it's not pleasing to the Lord, especially Lord Chaitanya. Another teaching that one, this devotee was telling me, he found this teaching in an article from Satswarup Maharaj, and he said that when Mukundadatta was dancing in ecstasy, even knowing this bad news, that is a teaching that we have to be positive in life. And there is no better day to speak about be positive in life than this day, 3rd of January 3rd. We are starting 1 year, no, a new year. And of course, it doesn't matter the obstacles that we have in life, etc. We should learn from Mukundadatta this attitude to dance, even if we have to face the most bigger obstacles and challenges in spiritual life. So we can say that is the story of our disciple succession, fighting against the Mayavadi philosophy. And Prabhupada is speaking very clearly here that if maybe we can ask, what is the Mayavadi philosophy? The Mayavadi philosophy is very simple. Krishna or God doesn't have senses. He doesn't have form, according to the Mayavadi philosopher. And for that reason, in certain point when Krishna comes to the material world, he acquires a material form. And he is like an ordinary human being, or maybe an exalted human being, or an exalted personality, but nothing more than that. So there are two stories of Srila Prabhupada, very short stories. One teach us that Krishna, we should not negate that Krishna has form. No? The importance to accept that Krishna has a form. And another one, the other story, teach us that we are not one with the Supreme. No? We are one, but at the same time different. Like Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, as Lord Chaitanya taught. Now, the first story is with Guru Das. There is a pandal, no? There is a big feast. Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada was discussing all the evening or all the afternoon, discussing about the position of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. And all the Mayavadi philosophers or sadhus were hearing that. And finally, one of them, he was approached to Guru Das, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he said, I am not agree with your spiritual master in any point. I am not agree with him, but I don't like this conference. And well, but they have to sleep in certain point. And the Mayavadi goes to sleep with a blanket. And the night was very cold, So the Mayavadi, he covered himself with the blanket, and Guru Das, he stole the blanket, and he took a piece of the blanket and put it there, no, with the Mayavadi, and he took the blanket. So after some time, the Mayavadi started to feel cold, no, and he was looking, where is my blanket? And he approached the Guru Das, give me the blanket, no, this blanket is mine. Why you take my blanket? Because if you say that everything is one, no, that we all are one, you should accept that there is no difference between this little piece of blanket and the blanket that I stole. No, so you should use the little piece. It's the same. So after a couple times doing that, the Mayavada philosopher, he accepted this fact, and the next day he fell down to the lotus feet of until the lotus feet of Prabhupada. Yes. Prabhupada ki jaya. And the other story is a Prabhupada story. He told this story. I cannot remember all the details, but I will try to say this story very quickly. There is a king. The king has a birth. No, a birth? Birth? Birth. Yes. Birth. No. Bird. Sparrow. Yes. Or parrot. I don't know. We can say sparrow. Like a little bird. Yes. Sparrow. And he was very taking care of his sparrow all the time. My little sparrow, etc. But he has to travel, no? So he called his minister. I need someone able to carry my sparrow while I'm not here. So finally, the minister started to look some place where he can find someone able to take care of the sparrow of the king. And he found someone, a very humble man in a village with two sons. And he said, can you do this service? But consider this. If the sparrow dies, you will die. And if the sparrow lives, you will live. Okay. I can take care of the sparrow. No problem. So the sparrow was in this man. He was taking care of this little animal. And he said to their sons, don't play with the sparrow. I have to work and I'm going back. Something like that. And well, the kids were like playing with the sparrow, and when the man arrives again, he see or he find this he found this sparrow died there in the cage. What did you do? Etc. to the sons. And sorry, daddy, sorry. Now the king is gonna cut off, no, my head. Do you think that is funny? And well, the minister was there, no? He arrives, and he said, "What happened? Why the?" And then the man said, "Please help me. I don't want to die." So the minister said, "Okay, I'm gonna help you. You just listen carefully." No? So when the king arrives to the kingdom, he was very eager to see his sparrow. No? Where is my sparrow? Where is my sparrow? No? And the minister called the man. You have to talk about the sparrow. How is my sparrow? Well, your sparrow is, how can I say? Your sparrow is like sleeping. But he is flying? He's flying or. No, he's like, how do you call it? Like when one is here, like this? It's lying down. Lie down. Your sparrow is lie down. No. But he has his eyes open or closed. No, he's lie down. And he's eating or drinking or something. And he's lie down. No. And things like that. But he never said is die. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada is trying to point out that the Mayavadis, when they talk about God like this man talks about the sparrow. They don't say that God is dead. That is for the atheist people. They say that God is there, but he doesn't have senses. He doesn't have form. He doesn't have anything. No, but he's there. Why? Because if they say that God is dead, nobody is going to pay attention to them. But if they say, yes, God exists, but he's not existing or something like that, the spiritualist people is attracted to them because they speak about God. So these are two very nice stories that I wanted to share with you. And we can finish the chapter, because we have to finish the chapter. And then questions or something. We have a couple more of verses. Okay, 58. Listen carefully. A human being can attain perfection, Vishnu is speaking. A human being can attain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand himself is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life to their higher planetary systems. Purport, which is very short. This statement is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 9.41. Lord Chaitanya said, Bharata bhumite aila manusya janma jara janma sarthaka karikara para upakara. Everyone born in India, especially as a human being, can achieve the supreme success throughout the Vedic literature and its practical application in life. When one is perfect, he can render a service for the self-realization of the entire human society. This is the best way to perform humanitarian work. Text 59. About this is very clear, right? We hear these statements very often. That one who takes birth in India has more advantage than any other. 59. Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed for fruitive results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results of one desires, whether from material actions or from the fruitive activities recommended in the Vedic literatures, an intelligent man should cease from the desire from fruitive actions. For by such endeavors, one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desire from fruitive results, in other words, if one engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires. 60. As husband and wife, a man and woman plan together to attain happiness and decrease unhappiness, working jointly in many ways, but because their activities are full of desires, these activities are never a source of happiness, and they never diminish distress. On that contrary, they are cause of great unhappiness. 61 and 62. One should understand that activities of persons who are proud of their material experience bring only results contradictory to those such persons conceive while awake, sleeping, and deeply sleeping. One should further understand that the spirit soul, although very difficult for the materialistic to perceive, is above all these conditions, and by the strength of one's discrimination, one should give up the desire for fruitive results in the present life and in the next. Thus becoming experienced in transcendental knowledge, one should become my devotee. 63. Persons who try to reach the ultimate goal of life must expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person and the living entity, who are one in quality in their relationship as part and whole. This is the ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this. 64. O King, if you accept this conclusion of mine, being unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, and thus becoming proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, you will achieve the highest perfection by attaining me. And finally, 65. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus instructing Chitraketu and assuring him of perfection in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme Soul, Sankarshan, disappeared from the place and as Chitraketu looked on. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled King Chitraketu Met the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do you have any question, short comment? Realizations? Luke Prabhu, he has first one thing to share.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much. I was recalling one comment shared by, I'm pretty sure it was Ravendra Saruprabhu, but it maybe was another disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Just reflecting on his experience hearing classes from Prabhupada, Prabhupada would repeatedly come down quite heavy on this Mayavad philosophy. And then after a certain amount of time, this disciple reflected and realized Prabhupada was preaching to his disciples, like to chase out this tendency in them towards the Mayavad understanding. So it's just in my personal experience has been easy to kind of fanatically kind of label this external enemy, oh, Mayavad persons, or, you know, and kind of feel a little bit Acharyas were very clear in preaching the superior position of bhakti, and would also speak very strongly against the impersonal philosophy. In some circumstances, they would reveal a degree of respect for those who were sincere in their practice of this impersonal path. And I would like to hear if anyone else has anything to share on that topic, because it's kind of difficult to understand how someone can, you know, practice bhakti but still have respect for persons practicing the impersonal path. But this point comes here in the purport to the fifth canto, fifth chapter, verse 2, the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. And it's talking about, the verse is talking about how one can attain liberation only by rendering service to the Mahatmas. And so in the purport, Prabhupada says, on the path of liberation, one associates with Mahatmas, and on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to sense gratification and women. Their ultimate goal is different. The process of emancipation is almost the same. Eternal happiness, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I just think it's really, for me, has been a challenge to develop genuine respect for these persons, even though I recognize I'm on a different path. But ultimately, we must respect and love all living entities, otherwise there's an obstruction in one's devotional development. So I just wanted to share those things, and if anyone has anything to add
or
correct, thank you. Thank you.
It's very important because it's not only like the enemy is out there and we are the saintly persons. The Mayavadi tendency is in the within the heart of each of us in general, which if the tendency is in the heart of every living entity who is living in this material world, because Mayavadi means that you want to be God in certain point. No? So for that reason we are here. That is the text 57 saying that. No? That we want to be God. We want to be qualitatively and quantitatively the same. So in that way, everybody is Mayavadi, and we are fighting against these tendencies. But because Prabhupada is trying to establish that Bhagavan Sri Krishna has a form, and in terms of if you argue with someone or discuss, if you give space while you are discussing something or arguing, they will defeat you. They will eat you with their philosophy, because it's very strong, the Mayavadi philosophy. So in that way, Srila Prabhupada was speaking in this humor. Now, like, which other terms Prabhupada used to refer to Mayavadis, for example? Rascals, things like that. No? Because if Prabhupada didn't do that, we don't have temple now here. We don't have anything. You know, Prabhupada has to establish, like a acharya, a samstapak acharya. Acharya established things. And of course, we should not think like we are like Prabhupada. No? I can speak like that to the people in general. But just understand that Prabhupada was trying to do that. And yes, respect. And also knowing which is the difference between Mayavadi and Brahmavadi. I think that verse that you read is talking about more about Brahmavadi, which is more near to the path of devotional service. But Mayavadi is exactly the opposite in those terms. Are similar, but it's the opposite. The intention is different, of course. But it's true. It's true. We should not be so hard with people in general, because we should learn that we have those tendencies also in our hearts. Thank you, bro, for sure. Acharya and Jai Valade.
I like Taitasha's last point that verse particularly refers to Brahmavadis, impersonalists, because Brahmavadis have no problem accommodating that others would like to see the absolute truth with form and personality. Mayavadis cannot tolerate. They have a whole philosophy behind how God doesn't have any senses. So on the path of spirituality, even Brahmavadis, they're considered spiritualists. There's no problem with that. In fact, Prabhupada's teaching is that even if we meet a Mayavadi sannyasi, we should pay obeisances. Because we are paying obeisances to the sannyas order, and that's proper. But we don't hear from them. But we should pay obeisances. Yes, we should love everyone. That is our call to action. And before we develop love for everyone, we have to learn how to love everyone. And so Rupa Goswami gives the four, I guess, categories of expression of that is prema, maitri, kripa, and upeksha. Prema is for the Lord, maitri is for the devotees, kripa is for the innocent, and upeksha is for the envious. So we express our love to a snake by not going near it like that. because it'll bite, and we don't have within us the capacity of an inbuilt antidote for that. So then one can develop from there on, then there is love for everyone. So the Madhyama platform is like the Kanishta. When we are as Kanishtas, it's difficult for us to distinguish danger from not danger. You know, there is milk, and if it's poisoned by a serpent, Kanishta cannot recognize that. And Uttama doesn't care. He doesn't bother him, because even the poison he can ingest and nothing happens to him. It's the Madhyama who makes, whoa, this is poison, sorry. Yeah, like we ask, is this offered? that's our way of protecting ourselves. Is this offerable to Krishna? Just adding to what you're saying. I'm not... Yeah.
Prabhupada is kind of indicating our own impersonal tendencies. My own personal experience and interacting with and involved with devotees at a personal level, that tendency is there. Generally, my observation is that it comes in the form of when we feel that when we are new, we take inspiration from those who are older to us. You know, because we don't know anything, and everything is new, everything is different. So we learn observing all the devotees, like through their experience. And a point comes when we mature and we get a kind of some understanding of the process and how things work in the movement, and then we start thinking we can do better. If I was a preacher, I would have said it like this. Or if I was a head pujari, I would have done this better. So that's in very subtle ways, impersonal, because you learn something, and then the moment you've learned, one learns something, the pride comes in. And then we think that we can do better. And then we kick all those devotees and we try to... Yeah, the ladder. When he was saying that, I was personally thinking. And then that tendency, if it's not checked with devotees, I've seen it, it infiltrates into one's relationship with the spiritual master. Because it's very hard to understand with our Kali Yuga senses the activities of Uttamadhikari or a very advanced devotee. And sometimes they make certain decisions or they do certain things which may look very mundane or which may even look wrong. And we may think, you know what? Why did that Maharaj say, why did he do, you know? I would have done it differently. It comes, I've talked to devotees who struggle with that. So it has to be checked. You know, even with devotee, if it's checked, then it doesn't. Anything is not checked in our interactions with devotee, eventually it does reflect with a very advanced devotee. So the tendency is there. So that's the very, in a subtle way, the impersonal tendencies that we all carry from millions and millions of life is very subtle.
Would you say in yesterday's class, the last part, Gopinanda Prabhu asked a question. How impersonalism
infiltrates into the lives of devotees. And we discussed like a list of few things. This was an excellent point. We didn't discuss that. But add that to the list. There was a list we talked about yesterday.
Because it doesn't... Because you cannot understand with like our very gross senses, like what they're doing. So then we kick. It's literally like that, you know, in us through our speech. It's okay.
Assuming that we are not very advanced,
the way we approach a problem will be on the basis of our intelligence and our assessment of the situation. And those advanced devotees may be prompted by Krishna. And Krishna may prompt in a particular way intentionally to either bring out our impersonal situation in that, our impersonal conditioning in that situation, or to teach someone, or all of it at the same time. Because Krishna can do 20 things with one gesture and everyone gets like, whoa, what's going on? So it's very tricky. Krishna is very tricky. That's the point. Expert, I should say. Expertly tricky.
There you go. I'm just appreciating it.
No, go ahead. I was thinking you didn't know what to do with it.
I was just appreciating the discussion, and I, you know, maybe also we can get into more how the devotee deals with those individuals, because we see different moods of Prabhupada also. My question was just how the Mayavadi doctrine has become so prominent, because it's not bona fide. So I'm wondering about what sampradayas they may claim to be part of. I mean, Shankaracharya introduced this, but he would have had to also been in a disciplic chain. So how, I mean, according to what sampradaya, authentic sampradaya, can they claim, you know, understanding?
The question is how the the Mayavada philosophy becomes so prominent?
Yeah, would they claim to adhere to? Because one must have come in disciplic succession.
Yes. As far as I know, I mean, I don't know. The last point that I know is Shankaracharya and his comments about Vedanta Sutra. But before that, it's beyond my knowledge. I cannot tell you where it's come from. Maybe you can ask, like, Senor Devotee, Nityananda Pram. Yes, yes. Because I don't know who is behind Shankaracharya.
Historically speaking, impersonalism and personalism have always coexisted. Because there have been worshippers of those who see everything as oneness, because it's in the Bhagavatam, right? And Bhagavatam is way before Shankaracharya and all that. You find persons who had the four Kumaras, they were Jnanis. So there is, or there are the six Darshanas, the six limbs of knowledge, the Vaisheshika, the Kannada, they wrote the Karma Mimamsa, and they're all shades of impersonalism. And so it existed. Shankaracharya came in one of those lines. Why is Mayavad so potent today? Because it is empowered by Krishna. There is a reason. The reason is to remove Buddhism. Buddhism is highly atheistic. So in the progression of Kali Yuga, there you will have one after the other impersonalist or atheistic doctrines. So Lord Shiva's particular service is to propound Mayavad in such a way that it removes Buddhism. It's no different than Buddhism, like he was saying. It's not so different. It's covered atheism. But it uses the Vedas as Pramana. So Shankaracharya, all his writings are from the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedanta Sutra. Buddhism doesn't even consider Vedanta Sutra. It's this is all trash. They don't even care. So Shankaracharya's fantastic contribution, if you see purports of Prabhupada, he will quote great acharyas like Sri Pada Shankara, like that, because he brought back the authority of the Vedas. Because without Vedas, without Shabda Praman, they can't have anything. But he did it in such a way that it sounds impersonalist, and it propounds that, and at the same time it establishes the Vedas. Now, What has happened since Shankaracharya is the modern garden variety is severely offensive. One after the other, one after the other. It's been very severely offensive. Well, we can say that whatever they do is the ultimate glorification of Lord Chaitanya. Our devotees see it in that light. That the Shankaracharya's contribution is to re-establish the Vedas, then Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, one after the other, they incrementally refine the teachings such that Lord Chaitanya can present Vraj Bhakti. I mean, that's the understanding. That it's an incremental improvement with each appearance of an acharya to the state that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give Vraja Bhakti. Well, I have to see that reference. It increased population because it allows for one person to be highly materialistic. One of the Mayavada doctrine things is you can do whatever you like. Like that. Ultimate issue, it's all one.
Thank you, bro. It's a very nice point that with each acharya, there is an improvement in the, for example, in our line. For example, Madhvacharya, he established the difference. No? But Lord Chaitanya established the difference and, yes, Achintya Veda Vedatat. So it's like more deep and it's like that. And if you want to see, you can give the microphone to Jayavalayo, the last question. If you want to see, for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended that we should check the nine principles that Madhvacharya left to establish our consciousness in the right way, you know, and to avoid the Mayavadi philosophy. There are nine principles that you can find, are compiled by Baladeva Vidyabhushan, and you can find them and read them. I cannot remember now each of them, but it's a nice exercise to read them, just to refresh, you know, what we are practicing. That's it. Bro.
Hare Krishna. Hello. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. First of all, I want to just say very inspirational class. You made a lot of wonderful points and realizations. And actually, my points in regards to what Nithyananda Prabhu, Prabhu actually said, in all seriousness, the point of patience and Mukunda Datta, that story is very exemplary and inspirational how we should act. And it's the ocean. Nithyananda Prabhu was mentioning this the other day. The ocean stole the eggs, but the sparrow still was determined. I'm going to empty out the entire, you know, ocean. But this determination evoked the mercy of Garuda. And so I was kind of meditating on this pastime. For me, the ocean represents, like you said, or like our Anartas, you know, unlimited ocean of Anartas. So just as it's impossible to empty an entire ocean, you know, it's also impossible to get rid of our Anartas, our unlimited ocean of Anartas, without the mercy of, like, Guru and Krishna. And so this reminded me of a saying. What's that saying? It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog that determines who comes out victorious. So this is a very important point, because me and Himanshu was talking about this point yesterday, that we see newcomers come to the temple and they do some devotional service for some time and then they go away. And sometimes we feel that, you know, personally, that what's not emphasized enough is that, you know, we have to kind of forgive ourselves and be patient. You know, we have an unlimited amount of anartas, but that shouldn't take us away from the temple. The temple is a hospital. So a lot of times, the points you were mentioning, the Mukunda Datta story, is that he was patient, he forgave himself, but that still didn't take his enthusiasm. So real humility should inspire us to keep going every day. And so I was really appreciating that pastime, and that kind of inspires me to read that pastime. I know my brother mentioned it a few times, but I've never read it before. So thank you for sharing that pastime. I appreciate it.
And you know
it.
How the pastime ends?
I
forgot to mention. Lord Chaitanya embraced Mukunda Datta. Mukunda Datta ki. Si Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, jai. check.